Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very honored to have in studio tonight Janet Robin. I met her through a friend of mine, Lisa Carbe, who's the bassist for Carbe and Duran and Incendio. And she had told me a while ago, you have to have her on the show, and I finally was able to put it together. And going through her newest album, we're going to play some clips tonight of her album, Take Me As I Am. Amazing stuff. I'm really impressed. And you talk about tone, technique, it's all there. And I just want, let me get her mic on, and I just want to welcome you to the show. It's just great to have
you
here.
Thank you for having me.
Oops, wait a minute.
There I am.
There you go. Now,
thanks for having me.
Before I play this first clip that's from the album, which really shows it's an acoustic clip, it's called Prelude to a Dream, I want to talk real quick about, let's go through your background a little bit, because
sure.
you've had an interesting
yes,
teacher.
It's eclectic. Yeah. My background is very eclectic. It's like a mixed bag. Yeah.
So give me a little bit of a background of your influences and, you know.
Ooh, yeah, that's a lot of stuff, too. I mean, I did take lessons from Randy Rhoads when I was very young. So, you know, that 70s, you know, classic hard rock stuff is in my plane. But at the same time, you know, in like early middle school, I was listening to singer-songwriter stuff. Joni, James Taylor, those things. Beatles, you know, love Beatles. And not only for guitar, for also songwriting, mm-hmm. you know. And then in high school, it just was, you know, so much stuff was out there. It was a new wave and, you know, all these other things happening, more metal, pop, glam metal, stuff like that. And then mm-hmm. I got into Precious Metal, which was an all-girl band.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't really that metal. We were more like, you know, glam rock kind of stuff that was happening in the 80s. I just have this whole mixed bag of, you know, Jimmy Page meets Jimi Hendrix meets a little bit of, you know, Clapton, and then there's the finger-picking Joni Mitchell stuff and alternate tunings and this and that. And then, you know, cut to years later after Precious Metal, I got the gig with Lindsey, and even though I knew of him as an amazing guitar player, I really didn't know how great he was until I started working with him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I listened to rumors, you know, and I thought, oh, a great guitar, you know, but it wasn't like my brother had, you know, big posters of Lindsey Buckingham in his room. He had posters of, you know, Jimmy Page and all these rock guides, you know. So I think he heavily influenced the latter part of my playing for sure,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Yeah.
Well,
and then the girls in Heart. Nancy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nancy Wilson.
Yeah. Well, it's because there is you can hear it on the album, the way you blend the acoustic guitars and the electric guitars. I do hear that interplay. It's really nice. And you get a nice, I mean, your electric guitar tones. We're going to ask questions about your guitars and stuff. But let me go ahead and play this Prelude to the Dream, which will really show the chops that you have, but also it's just the tone that you get out of the acoustic guitar is just, I love this sound. So let's play this real quick and we'll talk about that.
Sure.
Interesting, because when I was going through all the music to pull clips out, I was trying to figure out, you know, I can't really edit that. It's just too good on its own. So that's, I just left the whole clip. That's the actual clip from the album. And I want to mention also, too, that's the only instrumental piece on that album. She's a singer-songwriter. Now, I'm cutting clips showing the guitar parts. You'll hear some of her vocals, but I want to stress that you are...
Both. But, you know, I mean, singing comes second. You know, I would say it's guitar. The order goes guitar, songwriting, singing. So I guess it goes third. I've worked on my vocals, though, for many, many years, trying to just find something that works for me that's comfortable. I don't think of myself as... you know, this, like, you know, Whitney Houston person or anything like that, you know, so.
No, but I mean, in terms of the songs, everything, it fits, and it's part of, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we play some of the other songs. Your voice is another instrument as opposed to voice accompaniment.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
part of the, it all threads together.
Right. You arrange it. It's orchestrated as another instrument.
Yeah. And even live, that's shown even more in my performance too. Just, it's not, you're coming to see somebody singing their songs. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing.
Right.
The guitar, the singing, the songs, the banter, you know.
It's the whole show.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
Now, on Prelude to the Dream, was that the Taylor?
That was my Taylor, yeah. And, of course, I haven't been playing that song. You picked that song, and I was like, I haven't been playing that one in a while. I've been playing one of my other instrumentals live. But I'm trying to think. I think it was capoed, and I don't think I did a different tuning on it. And those riffs, should I get my guitar?
Sure, you can. Feel free to demonstrate.
I'm trying to see if I can remember that.
Sometimes I love those
fast riffs, yeah. And, you know, that's a very obviously indicative of Randy, you know, those kinds of pull-offs. This thing is in the way. Let me see if I can get that. Yeah, so capo 5.
So you're doing some hammer-ons and pull-offs.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, right there, you can kind of, the chords I'm using and the licks, so here we go. So I'm going to break it down. I would say the chord and the melody structure is probably influenced by Paige and Nancy Wilson. And then... the technique is pure Randy, you know.
and you dig in. She gets
that. I do, yeah.
She makes the acoustic guitar distort. Like.
Yeah, I mean, and that happened more organic. That was never an original part of my playing. What happened was I went to see Ani DeFranco many, many years ago, also a fantastic guitar player, and I frankly had never seen anybody play so percussive like that. And I was like, wow, she doesn't need a band, you know. And I was just really impressed by that style. I started messing around with that within my kind of singer-songwriter style. And I think that just kind of mutated into where I am now. And because I started out just touring, you know, mostly solo acoustic, which I'm still doing a lot. And it can be relatively boring if you're just watching someone singing and playing their songs, you know, even if they're good guitar players. It's nice to have something that has a little bit of a groove to it, you know, if you're playing kind of an upbeat type of song. And so that style has really helped me to kind of...
Well, it's interesting because a while ago I had Snuffy Walden on, and he had these...
I love that name. I don't know who that is, but...
you've probably heard it. He's right now writing the music for that new...
TV show.
SEAL Team. But he worked on West Wing and stuff. But he did a solo album where he has these beautiful Martin guitars, and he gets this interesting sound, not unlike what you're doing, where he does a lot of pull-offs.
Oh, okay.
But he gets that, like, that grit to the Martin digging in when you dig in. And we were talking about that, and the first that we both had heard it was Stills on, like, Black Queen when he did on his solo album.
I got compared to him in a couple of reviews, and I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but I actually never, you know, zeroed in on him as this kind of guitar player, and apparently he is. So
yeah, no, he on some of the stuff where he plays acoustic guitar, he just digs.
Oh, I recently went and found some of those songs, and I'm like, oh, I guess they were right with that comparison. But I he wasn't an influence at all. I think it was just a combination of all these different people in my life, and the combination of having to make it out, you know, make my show interesting as one person on stage, that, you know, I put all these things in a blender and out came my style, you know. And
well, from just watching you warm up and stuff, she's a strong player. She plays hard. She's got strength in those hands. I mean, she's really digging into that guitar.
I think also, you know, I started for 1 year on classical and acoustic guitar, but for most of my life I was playing electric guitar. And so when I moved over into playing a little bit more of acoustic, I took some of the electric chops, you know, where you have to play like that. And I kind of put it into my, you know, my acoustic guitar playing. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to lose those cool riffs that I studied for so long and worked on with Randy. So I just adapted it on the acoustic.
Well, let's see. Which one do I want to do? Let's go. And this is an edit that I put together. And this is a perfect one to break it down, what you're talking about. This is the title song, Take Me As I Am. And it starts out with this acoustic guitar, very beautiful finger picking. I love the bass riff.
Yeah, Mark Winchester.
Yes.
he's amazing.
Then there's a slide guitar. That's
me, yeah.
And then there's the electric lead. There's some electric lead in there. So let me play this clip and take a listen and listen to how the guitars all interact. I think you're overdubbing. I think there's a couple acoustic guitars and
one acoustic guitar, a slide, and
but you'll hear a lot of stuff going on. What's cool is the little licks that she puts in there while they're around the vocal, and we'll break it down here. Take a listen. This is Take Me As I Am.
I got lots of problems. I got lots of plans. Pretty perfect, darling, hold me in your hand. Every little step I take, I've been in the middle, I've been on the top, I've been on the bottom, where it hurts a lot. Every little step I anytime. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to cry anymore.
That's a lot of interesting stuff. I love that.
That was a good edit, Jeff. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, shortest version of that song I ever heard.
I had to put the lead in.
It builds. You know, the song builds to that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to the song. Yeah. There's another verse and so.
Yeah. B sections and bridges. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of cover all the bases in that song. I'm acoustic.
But it's interesting. And then also, too, how the voice plays. You can see the difference as a musician, as a instrumentalist. Your voice is like part of that.
Yeah, it's part of the.
They function, and there's counterpoint from the guitars. The acoustic, was that the?
I can't remember on that one. That one might have been Roseanne Cash's Martin.
Mm.
Sorry.
You just dropped your water.
Oh.
But you're good.
John Carter Cash, who produced, and Chuck Turner, they produced it. Chuck Turner produced it, and John Carter was like the executive producer, mm-hmm. overlooked everything, and also co-mixed it with Chuck. And this is the second time I've worked with that pair. They're just awesome.
It was great. When the drums come in playing the side stick, it's just, you get, the, there's, it sounds like it's all leakage. It's got the room.
Well, that's Chuck's miking technique, you know. And I think the guitar, often when I'm there, I love Taylors. There's nothing wrong with Taylors. And it is on my recordings. But sometimes you need a Martin. It's a little bit more warmer. Taylors tend to be very bright, which is great for live, and especially for solo pieces like that, you know, the previous one you played. So that may in fact have been the Roseanne Cash model, which is like the one they have there is like 0001. You know, and it's really nice, but
it's a great sound, and it's clean, and the articulation, which is also your technique too. The finger picking it's just letter perfect. But the slide guitar, what were you using there?
That was probably my Tele. I have a 52 reissue.
And then what kind of amp were you using?
Because I'm at Cash Cabin, it was like a 1958 little tiny like Fender, one of those.
Champ?
Maybe. It was
or
a
Princeton.
Tweed. It was Tweed.
Tweed?
Yeah.
Probably a Champ.
Really old, maybe a 58, 59. They have some amazing vintage stuff there.
I'm sure. And then the electric stuff, the rock stuff.
The rocks. What do you mean?
What were you using for the power chords and then the lead?
That was probably my Les Paul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or their Les Paul. Which
different amp or still the small amp?
Same amp, I think, but probably one of my pedals probably distorted it even more.
What do you use for this
version? I use, I didn't come prepared. It's, what is the name? The really small black, it's like a boutique.
Exotic?
Yeah. Thank you. You're awesome.
I had them on the show.
You're awesome.
So you have a distortion?
Yeah, the exotic distortion. I used that on that.
It's a
good
sound. Sure.
Yeah. And the miking, you know, the compression. I mean, Chuck Turner's amazing at that. You know, he tweaks a little here and there, and then the rest is I'm just sometimes, like for the solo, I'll actually stand in the room and solo, you know, whereas a lot of players when they're doing a session will
sit down.
They'll tell me you need to stand, you know. It's one of the reasons I really love working with those guys, because I love the other producers I worked with, but a lot of them were, you know, like, you can't play a solo that long, you know, that's too long for a radio song. And I'm like, but this is what I'm about, you know. And when I met those guys, they were like, you want to do a 5-minute guitar solo, go for it. You know, I mean, you know, so
they now, how much did they have in the say in the arrangement, or is that where you? You had told me before the show,
yeah.
Like the bass riff, he pretty much came up with that.
So, yeah, you know, as much as I love my band here in L.A., they're awesome. Got Jennifer Oberle, Steve Ficchetti. I have a couple of different drummers I use depending on who's available. Shea Godwin, Dan. I got to get everybody in there. Dan Petrucci. But when I go, you know, out of town and I'm going to record somewhere else, I just can't, you know, I don't have the budget to bring them and put them up. So we really tried to get the same guys that played on my previous record. I gave you that that one too. Everything has changed.
Yeah, everything has changed.
Yeah, you should take a listen to that later on, because you'll really like that one. It's, well, listen to me. You'll really like it, Jeff.
Well, you had mentioned it's more acoustic. I like your acoustic.
Well,
now
it's got electric too on it. It's a little bit similar, but maybe not as hard rocking.
As edgy.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, we got Mark again, and he's just so creative. Basically, how it goes with these two guys, John Carter and Chuck, is I spend, you know, months and months doing demos at home.
Mm-hmm.
Full-fledged
mm-hmm.
demos, not necessarily with bass lines, just mostly guitar and mm-hmm. vocal with mm-hmm. prearranged, you know, guitar parts. And I send them the demos. We choose the songs together. And then we all listen to the demos. When we get to the studio, the boys who are there on the session, you know, do their little Nashville writing in some other language.
I've seen the Nashville chord
special code. Number language or whatever that is. And we go in and we do like 3 takes. And that's it. So, you know, they'll come up with something while we're sitting around listening to the demos, and they'll be like, "What do you think of that, Janet?" And I'm like, "That sounds freaking great." You know, it's okay, yeah, you know. And then Chuck might say, you know, "Can you try something else?" Or John, you know, he might say something. And we just agree, you know, on a final arrangement, and we cut it. And we do maybe 2 or 3 takes to get it right. And, mm-hmm. and that's about it. I mean, these guys out there, you know, these guys are amazing players, because, you know, those 2 records, it sounds like I've been playing with these guys for like 10 years, you know.
It's real. I mean,
it's
totally
very natural.
And very natural.
Yeah, very natural. And I'm sitting there playing with them. So we're doing the foundation tracks together, all of us, because I want to get my energy. I want them to see me doing it, because I wanted to get that energy on my recording as people see me live. Because I was getting a lot of input like, "Hey, your recordings are cool, but I like watching you live better," you know? And I was like, "Well, how can I, without doing a live record, how can I get that energy?" You know, and again, right. It wasn't until I met those guys and the way that the studio is set up and how we can see each other and just everything. Just, that's a special place too. Cash Cabin, that's where his dad did a lot of recordings there. And, you know, it's just in the woods in the middle of nowhere, you know. It's
well, the basic rhythm track, once you have that, you're home free. But
right.
I have to admit, the overdubs that you did, like your lead, pretty aggressive, pretty high energy, and it still had the energy.
Yeah, no, I have
it
to.
Didn't sound,
I have to get it up.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't. A lot of times when you overdub, it starts sounding mechanical.
Right.
You know, it doesn't, it loses the feeling.
Yeah,
I don't feel that. I mean, with the guitars that you're doing and stuff, everything in there is...
No, I've got to put... I always put, you know, 100% into my session work when I'm doing mm-hmm. it. And then when it's your own song, you know, you just... You got to mm-hmm. give it all. You got to connect to it. Yeah. And those guys won't settle. I mean, they actually sent me home to practice some things. Go home. Come back. Seriously.
They send you home?
Yeah. You need to practice this vocal or this and that, whatever. Go home. And then... come back in 2 weeks. I don't want you doing anything else but practicing this. And those are the people I want to work with. They kick your ass in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, if I'm never going to be kicked in the ass anymore, then it's not worth it for me to continue being an artist. Because I'm just going to get bored. And I'm not going to grow.
Yeah.
You can never settle.
Well, we were talking a little bit about that, playing with different musicians. We might as well talk about that right now. We were talking about playing with different people, and I was saying something about the fact that I like playing with people that are better than me, because it makes you
right.
work harder.
Right.
And you said you were going to mention.
Oh, I share the same feeling with you. And I have always tried to surround myself with better players, or however you want to put it, maybe more experienced players or players who are different than me, you know, coming from different perspective. But certainly my biggest experience with that was working with Lindsay, you know. And that it wasn't only a job for me. It was like, okay, this is like going to graduate school, you know, and my professor is Einstein, mm-hmm. you know. And he was so good, and he demanded perfection from everybody. I really hadn't had that experience before. It was quite stressful, actually. And I was just coming out of that Sunset Strip, like, party all night, you know, rainbow, let's have some beers. Yeah, I mean, Precious Metal was a great band, and we were very, you know, consistent in being, you know, tight and being a great band. And I'm not knocking our band at all, but it was a whole other level with Lindsay. And the story that I really like to tell is I didn't really know that at our rehearsals with Lindsay, we were being taped on individual tracks.
Wow.
During rehearsal. And that's vocal and guitar. So back then it was like ADATs, you know. And he would sit and listen to the rehearsals after we left. And any people, you know, in the band that were not quite nailing it on certain parts, he was sitting and having conversations with, me being one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and he basically sat me down. He said, you know, on this song, you're not quite, you know, in the pocket with this lick or whatever. And that this on this one, this other song, you know, you're singing out of tune, blah, blah, blah. You know, gave me some, you know, his lowdown of what I needed to fix. And basically he said, if you don't fix it, I'm going to have to replace you. And I mean, I almost, you know, I can't say bad words on here, can I?
Well, we do have some kids listening.
Yeah, you know, I almost, you know, peed in my pants. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I was, what, 23 or something, 24? I didn't want to lose this gig. I mean, I was like, oh, my God, you know, I can't. I have to get my crap together. So I literally spent my next couple weeks' salary, you know, from his gig, going to guitar lessons, going to vocal lessons, hooking up with other the other people in the band, and some of the other people in the band had been called out as well. I wasn't the only one. So we were all like having private meetings together and working on parts, which was great. And then we started having rehearsals without him, full on rehearsals. We were asking like the production manager, can we get into the rehearsal studio on Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
And we would all secretly get together as a band. It was quite a large band, you know. It was a 10-piece band.
Oh, wow.
And that particular group that he put together had 5 guitar players. Do you know anything about that project?
No.
You don't know about it?
You have to tell me.
Well, we don't have all day, but yeah, he put together a guitar army. So he had 5 guitar players, 2 women, 2 men, and him, 2 percussion players, a drummer, bass player, and keyboardist.
Wow,
and it was amazing. On his record.
So I can see now that tightness was critical.
Yeah, he had a whole orchestra going on, you know. And we were basically covering every single part that was on that record of his that we were touring on, which was called Out of the Cradle. And it's layers and layers of guitars mm-hmm. and vocals. So it wasn't just like a 4-piece band and I was the only guitar player. That was not at all the case. Complex
parts.
Well,
I can see now the problem trying to stay in the pocket with that many guitar players.
Yes, I know. I went from 5-piece.
String players, just being a little bit off, it gives that blend. But
of course,
not a chorus thing.
Yeah. No. And we had, you know, 5-part harmonies going on, or people were singing in unison, which is always hard. Someone's always a little off, you know. Or we were playing unison parts and, you know, crazy, crazy things. So what a education. But anyway, suffice to say, we got it together. And I remember, you know, several months later, he pulled me aside and he said, I always knew you would rise to the occasion.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, let me ask you something about
sure.
Lindsay. What impressed you most about him, working with him, his guitar playing or his songwriting?
That's really hard. But, you know, if I had to pick, I would say the guitar playing. But
really?
But again, he's another one where his songs, his voice, and his guitar playing are all kind of one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of a song, for instance, like Never Going Back Again, I mean, that's just pure Buckingham. All of it, the vocal, the songwriting, and the guitar kind of goes all together. But he's an incredible guitar player. You know, he's just mesmerizing. You're just sitting there like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. You know, and that used to happen at my lessons with Randy. I mean, I used to bring neighbors with me to my guitar lessons with Randy Rhodes. You know, it was happening again, and here I was, you know, being paid to watch him do this. Yeah, which was great. But he's also a master arranger, you know, producer. And to be honest with you, you know what impressed me the most is the fact that he's such a consummate pro. Is not about being a rock star or necessarily how much money he had or power or whatever. It's so all about the music with him, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to remember, I'm coming out of the 80s, you know, this whole glam rock, you know, where it's party and money and people driving, you know, Ferraris and whatever. That was the thing, you know. Yeah. to this guy who, look, he has plenty of money, you know, at the time, and, you know, he was driving a nice car, but it wasn't. It so was not about that. He's like 100% committed to the art and getting the best he can get out
right.
of it.
He was very specific what he wanted, and no, I understand that, because some people think it's just, you know, party on, and it isn't. It's and a lot of those guys. A lot of the big writers too, they're very specific.
I'm not saying you can't party and be successful, but, you know, I think in those cases, you know, these guys also from the 70s, there was no Pro Tools back then. You had to play it right or get out, you know. I mean, kind
you
of
you had to play the whole thing.
Yeah, you had to, you know, maybe they punch in one part or something. So nobody's screwing around here, you know.
Right.
I
had read Jimmy Page's biography, and he was talking, you know, yeah, they were known for their partying and getting wasted.
Of course.
But he was very specific.
No, in the studio.
In the studio.
In the studio it's all work. Yeah, all. And exactly. And I think that's the lesson I learned, too, from when I got this gig. I was doing my job, but I think I got a little, you know, starstruck or a little big-headed or something, and I wasn't paying enough attention to my job as a guitarist mm-hmm. in his band, you know. And boy, he set that straight with all of us too. I mean, it was maybe three or four of us that were called out, and we're like, got to get it together.
That's interesting. And in a group like that too, with that many people, one of the things I've always done when I played in ensembles or in sessions is I'm always listening to everybody else. And I think a lot of young guitarists, you know, especially young lead guitarists, they just, like, let me just
tread.
Rip.
Yeah.
They go.
Yeah.
And they don't listen. And you need to listen to all those parts. But that many people, that must have been interesting, because you have to kind of listen what they're doing so you stay.
I think that was my lesson from that. Yeah. You hit it right on the nail, because I was coming from a five-piece, you know, glam metal band where, yeah, we were listening to each other. There were parts, but you were playing your part, and that was it. You know, everybody had their part. You know, this was an ensemble, and a very complicated one with, you know, different parts and different sounds. I had to change guitars a lot, tunings. One song I played mandolin. I didn't know how to play mandolin. He showed me. Showed me.
Did you tune it as a mandolin?
Yeah.
Still? Oh, okay.
No. I played a mandolin.
Oh, okay.
He gave me his mandolin. Play this, and I want you to play this part. I was like, I don't know how to play mandolin. I don't care. I'm going to show you how to play it. I was like,
because a lot of session guys would tune it like a guitar.
Right. No.
That's
no.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, he became a mentor, and in fact, he, you know, I just saw him twice actually, and. He's still a mentor, but after that gig ended several years later, he pushed me to do my own thing. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have done it. I started experimenting with some guitar stuff. He's like, why don't you sing and write some songs? I'm like, what? You know? And so I did, and we actually got together one time, just me and him, and jammed. And I think he was looking to see if there were, you know, going to be any songs that came out of it. Somewhere that tape exists, but he pushed me, write some more songs, send me the demos, And I did. And then he would call me, the song sounds cool, but I would never sing that lyric. You know, he's very sarcastic. And, you know. And so we just stayed in touch, and I would send him stuff, and then came to one of my shows.
What did he think?
I think he thought it was pretty good, but that was very, very in the beginning of my career. We're talking like 1998, 99 maybe. I was still developing, I think, as an artist. But he came. That was really cool.
That's very cool.
It was very cool, and you know, we had lots of conversations. And then he started sending me tapes of his demos. I'm like, I got Lindsey Buckingham sending me demos, you know. And he's like, you know, he's playing like this, you know, crazy fast stuff. And then he's like not singing. It's just like.
Well, what did he want? He wanted you to, your impression, criticism?
Yeah. Not criticism, just like, well, what do you think? You know, I'm like, I think it's cool. Yeah. You know, what am I going to say? That sucks, you know.
Oh, no. I mean, like, you know. This on electric.
Right, I would say, no, I really like that finger-picking part on the song, or I like that melody line you started to sing. And yeah, I mean, it was, so we did that for a little while, and then, you know, he got married, he had some kids, and he got involved back with Fleetwood Mac, and, you know, we just didn't have that same connection anymore. But I continued to see him at shows, always backstage. Hey, how's it going? How's it going with your work, you know, and so
that's very cool that you've been able
and
to
I actually thanked him. It was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I just point blank looked at him in the eye and I said, I need to thank you for pushing me and encouraging me to do my own solo work. I really appreciate it, and you gave me the confidence, you know, to go out and try that. And he looked right in my eye and he said, well, that's what it's about, isn't it? I mean, he's really just, you know, it's crazy and you know, perfectionistic and maybe satirical and cynical as he is. He's a great person.
That's very cool.
He's a real person, you know, and I've just been extremely lucky. So, yeah.
Well, let me, I'm going to bug you right now to play a piece that you have a YouTube video for.
Oh, yeah.
You can go ahead and take your headphones off because I know that's going to...
It's in the way, yeah.
And she had this video. I follow her on Facebook, so I see what she's doing. And it posted up there, and it's a...
Are you stalking me on Facebook?
There you go. at least I'm stalking and not trolling. There is a difference.
Oh, there is, yeah.
But anyway, she did the song from the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. And I just was blown away. It was just a really cool.
But Here Comes the Sun on a lot of caffeine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rather
my
fast.
Hands ached when I saw you play this. On
well,
the video.
I do it fast. You know, somebody on YouTube was like, "Why are you playing it so fast?" I'm like, "Because why not? It's my version." You know, I just made an arrangement, and I thought I'm going to play this really fast. So. And
no,
then,
she does play it very aggressively.
Aggressively,
but it's cool because it's the energy is there.
Well, I was really pleased because somehow it got to the George Harrison estate people on Twitter, and they started tweeting it.
Really?
Yes.
Very cool.
And I was like, it's the ghost of George Harrison. I mean, I don't know who runs the George Harrison estate, but that's the official handle of the George Harrison estate, and I thought, oh my God, they're going to sue me, you know, or something. But no, it was all praise. Hey, check out this version.
Well, it's a good. I mean, it's a killer arrangement.
So the whole thing. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. It's a great. It's a great song. I'm going to take pictures.
Microphone good. Where everything is.
Yeah, you should.
Okay. Let me fix this capo. Here we go.
Thank you.
That's great. That rhythm, man, my hands sore from you just watching you do it. No, it's great. That's a great arrangement.
Thank you.
I really, really, really liked it. Now, the reason I had you play that, because now I want to ask you a question. I know we're later in next year we're going to have the band that she plays with, the String Revolution, that you founded, actually.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And bring your mic back up there. Gotta get you back here.
Sure.
Which is features you and, let's see if I get everybody's names right, Daniel Schwartz, Art Zavala Jr.
Yes.
And Marcus Ilko.
That's right.
Marcus
Very
Ilko.
Good. Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you about that, and we're going to do a whole show on them. So, but your style of playing, how does that work with three other guitar players?
Well, you know, clearly I was influenced by the Lindsay Project, but the difference with this is it's pretty much all instrumental. There is one song that we had a guest singer on that record that I just gave you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the approach that I had with this project was I wanted to form a band with guitars that we could use the guitars in ways that would maybe make the ensemble sound like a full band.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, in some songs, one of the guys is just playing, you know, like that. Like, that's his part the whole time,
okay,
you know?
No.
And then if you see on that cover, I'm holding my baritone, I think, one of my baritones.
Well, that's a baritone? It looks like a Yamaha. It's just
No, the one that's, like, got no...
There's no innards.
Yeah. It's an electric baritone made by this Czech...
cool.
This Czech player, Czech luthier in Prague. However, I just got a new baritone from Taylor.
That they were starting to make some.
They gave me one, which is just awesome, just so beautiful, you know, baritone.
Yeah.
But I often play the baritone. We do switch off, though, and that provides the low end along with somebody doing, you know, and then there'll be somebody on rhythm and somebody on lead or doubling leads and stuff like that. So the approach is that way. Try to use our guitars in unique ways to make it sound somewhat like a full band. And the style is all over the place. It really is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's like we got a bluegrass song on there. We got like kind of a Latin-flavored song. We've got some modernish sounding things. There's a cover of Billie Jean on there.
Oh, very cool.
And I submitted to the Grammy entry ballot, and we were on the Grammy entry ballot. So we have to vote on that. We already voted on that, and then we hear if we're nominated the end of this month. It's you know, it's a long shot, but at least we got on the first.
No, but at least people are noticing.
And that's the main reason. You know, I wanted to get a little bit more promotion for that project, but I literally found those guys in Craigslist.
Wow. Wow.
I did that on purpose.
That's great.
I didn't want to play with – I know some fantastic players, but I really just didn't want to – play with people I knew.
To go totally new.
And I was open to another woman in the band too, but not one woman answered my ad.
Really?
Not one. Mm-mm. So, you know, they're great guys. It's really relaxed. You know, we rehearse at my house and then before shows we go to a studio and do a full-on rehearsal. And, you know, it's getting a lot of great attention now because it's so unique and so different than some other instrumental projects. And it's certainly different than, like, a singer-songwriter thing that I do. So we're getting these great bookings, like festivals and, you know, we've got some
I think it's great. And,
there's
more ensembles. I mean, on the classical end, there's the LA Guitar Quartet.
Of course, yeah.
And the California Guitar Trio. They're very interesting.
Yeah, they are very interesting. But we're a little bit different than that. I think you'll hear that on the record.
Yeah.
And we had Matt Hyde mix and master it. And Matthew Hyde co-produced and mixed Rodrigo Gabriela's 1111 record, which if you don't know.
Now, where did you record this at?
We recorded it out by the marina, and then we set the tracks to Matt, and he's in London, and he did just a fantastic job and cut his rate in. I shouldn't advertise that, but we're like, hi, you don't know who we are, but we love your work. Will you mix our record? We have no money. You know, he cut his
Well, he obviously thought it was worthwhile.
No, he did. We were so honored, and he did a fantastic job on it. That's why I just thought, I mean, I didn't even enter my own record I didn't submit my own record to the Grammys. I mean, also because it's such a long shot for the singer-songwriter categories.
Yeah,
it's
but
a little
you
bit more.
That's
I should have. I know.
It's a good album.
Well, thank you. But, you know, the instrumental categories have a little bit more of a chance. So I submitted to that. I'm very proud of that record. And if you don't mind, I'd like to actually let people know that we're playing.
No, actually, right now, we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
But go ahead and.
We're playing the String Revolution, thestringrevolution.com. We are playing at Hotel Cafe Saturday, December 2nd at 8 o'clock. And Hotel Cafe now has two rooms. We're in the smaller, intimate room. It's perfect for what we do. And highly recommend coming and checking us out.
Okay, what about your solo stuff? Are you going to be playing?
So I don't have anything on the books yet. Until April, I might be heading back to Europe. I'm actually working on a whole new project, totally different, with blues, old blues recordings, and I'm overdubbing new guitar over that. It's a whole new thing. I'm doing that right now. I'm doing demos for that
okay.
right now.
Which guitars are you using? I know you can't talk about the project, but you can talk about
mostly
the
guitars. Mostly my Tele and a little bit of my Les Paul. Those are my go-to guitars, and I'm literally overdubbing new guitar parts onto the original 1920 recordings.
Now, are you using your own amps?
Yes.
So what do you normally use?
Well, I have Blues Deluxe, I have Blues Junior, and sometimes just because I need to get the idea down, I'll go to my Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can actually get amazing sounds.
Yes, no, Mark Bonilla brought one in when he came on the show, and he had the Pod. He was just screaming.
Oh, I love it. I love
plugged it. Plugged it right in the board.
It yeah, and go. Great. You know, I do that a lot. I get amazing sounds, and I'm playing a little bass on it. I'm playing my couch cushion for drums.
Yeah.
Get creative. It sounds pretty good. Jeff, when I'm done, you're going to be like...
Yeah, no. I used to do Foley, and we had to do... people being punched.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
a boxing movie.
So
we used to use these big leather
cushions
yeah. and we'd hit them. So, hey, but it actually makes a good bass drum.
It sounds great. You got to put...
It's really saturated
yeah.
and soft.
Like, you could like, mess with a little bit compression and stuff, but...
No, that's cool.
Demos are sounding
that's
great.
That's very cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, once you get it recorded, you can sample it, and then they can
yeah.
just use electronic drums and get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No, that's... I like
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
That's
great.
Well, we're almost out of time. I'm going to
sure.
play... to take us out, On My Feet Again, the end of the song. And there's some really cool... What I want everybody to listen to at the end is just the little fills that she does in the background, little rhythm. Do you remember... I
think so.
What
yeah.
you were using... There's a couple of rhythm guitars, I think, that are electric. Was that your Tele?
You know, mostly on that record, I used my Tele. And there were some parts where I did rhythm on my Les Paul. Kind of that one, I'm not sure. That might have been... I think that was mostly Tele. Yeah, it's
okay.
My 52 reissue. Yeah.
Now, I have one request, and that is on your next solo album.
Yes.
I want to hear that baritone.
Oh, okay. The Taylor one or the Czech one?
Both.
you
can't, you know
yeah,
me better
yeah.
than that. No,
yeah, I've been experimenting with that. Boy, that's a monster.
It's great. No.
Those
guitars, I've had Jim Akima West on, and he uses a baritone, and it's just beautiful.
They are beautiful.
It's a great... But everybody, it's www.janetrobin.com and www.thestringrevolution.com are the two sites to check out what she's doing. The album that we were talking about, and I recommend you get it, is Take Me As I Am. And it's a great record. And
thank you so
I'm
much.
Now going to go listen to The String Revolution, and then we're going to figure out when you guys can
yeah.
come out next year. And I definitely want to have the group in here. This is going to be...
Oh, you're really...
And you have to bring the baritone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I bring... For the radio shows, I bring the Taylor one because I don't
yeah,
have to plug
yeah,
it
yeah. in. No, you definitely have to. No, it's really a pleasure to have you on the show, and I look forward to having you come by and hang with us, especially on the 4th when I have GNL.
Yes,
I want you to come by.
I plan on doing that. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here.
No, you're awesome, and it's just I can't say enough about this album. It's really good. There's a lot of great little guitar things, and it's just an exercise in great taste and technique. And check it out; it's really good. Everybody, I'm going to go ahead and play now. This is the On My Feet Again. Everybody have a great week. And we
happy
will,
Thanksgiving.
That's right. It's God, I can't believe it's already
know,
Thanksgiving.
Right?
So anyway, this is On My Feet Again. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's a pleasure. And everybody have a good one.
trip me as I'm falling to the ground. You can't kick me when I'm up or when I'm down. I'm flying high now. I begin where I am. I'm gonna land on my feet again. You can trip me as I'm falling to the ground.